8 o'clock on the dot.
There we go.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Commissioners Metro Park meeting for September 28th. Can I get a roll call?
Yvette Etu?
Here.
Dan Moore?
Here.
Bruce Rinker?
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
And just for the record, Bruce Rinker is attending virtually today pursuant to our policy that we adopted in April, the virtual public meetings policy in Ohio law. Thank you.
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Can I get a motion for the minutes of the meeting for August 21st?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call, please, Karen.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Yvette Etu?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Okay. Can I turn over to you, Wade, for the financial report?
Yes, thanks, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. As they get the PowerPoint up, we'll get started on reviewing results for through the first 8 months of 2025. Here we go. We always start with our comprehensive view. You'll notice I've highlighted one number here. We had a lot of construction spend in August this year. As you might guess, a big chunk of that was Primate Forest, but we also had $1.2 million for Solon's Chagrin Trail that we're finishing up. About $800,000 was incurred at the Sailing Center, and $680,000 was paid for work done at Hinckley Dam. Doesn't mean the work might have been done in August. It might have been the bill was lagging a little bit, but we had $10 million go out this past month. I did want to highlight one item. It's up here, property tax. We've talked about it as we've gone along. Our year-to-date number, we're all in now. We've got our second half settlement, all dollars in. We're $1.5 million below where we were last year, which is about 1.6%. And as you know, I projected a growth rate of 1 to 1.5%. So we're somewhat off that. We're evaluating that, and we will be lowering our estimate when we do the 2026 budget. I know some of the commissioners have asked, and you've probably read articles. We've met with the county numerous times. The big driver in why property tax collections are down in 2026 is due to the increase in delinquencies. The county asserts and has stated that they have the highest amount of delinquency dollars that they've ever had, and the delinquency rate is as high as it's ever been. They are doing a number of things to try to collect that delinquency. They have a tax lien sale in the works, and they've also gotten more aggressive about contacting those delinquent taxpayers. If that money does come in, that will be a positive for us. And you might have also read the most recent article that the Cleveland Clinic will be doing a sale of $330 million real property and a sale leaseback transaction. They could have allowed that property to remain tax exempt. They have chosen not to. So that will bring $330 million onto the tax roll, which is a big windfall for us. And so the clinic will be leasing the property from a private entity, and they'll be paying taxes. So we're hopeful that this is a blip, that it will catch up, but we're continuing to talk with the county about what they're doing with delinquent tax collections. Any questions on the comprehensive? Okay, we'll go quickly through the highlights. I know we have other issues. The Zoo Society money last year came in August. This year came in July. So that's just timing. It's not 1.1 million versus zero. If you look at the year to date, they're fairly comparable. But that was just timing. What I did want to point out for the zoo, and this is a big compliment to the zoo, you can see revenues are lagging a bit from where they were last year, the weather, and we talk about this with the zoo and with golf. But in terms of total expenses year to date, they're only up 2.9%, which I consider very good given all the things that are going on with inflation, tariffs. We have compensation increases, healthcare costs. Kudos to the leadership at the zoo for holding costs in line while revenues are down a little bit. I would point out that I do track the subsidy. And last month, the subsidy through 7 months was running at about 40%, 40.4%. Now it's running at about 35%. So the subsidy is continuing to go down. Our goal is always to have that subsidy at around 25% at the end of the year, and I think they're online to do that. The other thing I would point out is that you'll see we had some restricted expenditures. Those were all related to primate forest, or most of that was related to primate forest. As if you drive down there or get a chance to see what's going on, it's in full go. Golf. This month, we turned positive in green fee revenue. So we're $125,000, actually $126,000 ahead of where we were last year at this time. So golf has turned the corner. The weather impacted it for the first 7 months, so that's 2.3% above where it was last year at this time. And so we're very excited about that. Revenues year to date are up 1.4%. So they're doing well, and I know we've gotten some interim numbers. I did get a chance to talk with Joe yesterday, and September looks like it's going to be great. So it's just going to get better for golf now that they've weathered the weather. No pun intended, I guess. I didn't mean to do that. Sometimes you construction expense. You might wonder why there was so much construction expense in October. And it's a lot of asphalt work that was done at Seneca, as well as starting phase four. Phase four would be the other nine that's being finished. So a lot of work being done at Seneca. Year to date at Seneca, we've spent about $2 million. And it's just going to be fabulous when it's all done. If you haven't had a chance to see that, I would encourage you to take a look at what's going on at Seneca. A couple of the golf courses I did want to highlight. And the two that are running ahead of where they were last year are Mastic and Shawnee are both year to date. When I say ahead, I'm looking at the operating surplus. Those two are ahead. And then Manikiki, Sleepy, and Ironwood are within 2% of where they were last year. So when I think about us having nine golf courses, I would say five are doing extremely well. The others are lagging a little bit where they were last year for obvious reasons. Seneca's been under construction. So for it to be performing the way it performed last year is not even realistic. And Big Met, Little Met, and Washington are just lagging a little bit from where they were last year. But I'm much more comfortable with where golf is now that the weather has improved and the numbers look really good across the board for golf. Enterprise, again, I want to compliment, as we've talked about property tax collections being down, overall expenses are only up 3.7% in enterprise. So compliments to everyone involved with the management enterprise. They're holding expenses down, even with inflation, even with tariffs. We had salary increases, we had benefit increases, so they're doing extremely well. But you can see revenues are down, and we'll go through where it's down in a couple areas, and that was primarily due to closing of operations here. I won't say whether that's just we had certain operations close, so they're not even with us anymore. I shouldn't say not with us, they're not operating right now. But I always like to talk about Merwin's Wharf to start because it is our largest enterprise operation, and you can see what an improvement over where it was previously. It's just doing great this year. And again, September looks like it's really good. If you look across Beach House, close to where it was last year, Marina, close to where it was last year, the restaurant's not there, so that's going to impact totals. Everything else seems to be about where we thought it would be. If we go to the next page, one we talked about last month was Ledge Lake, and it's almost doubling. It's 115% better than where it was last year. We talked about the sale of season passes, food sales, general admission, everything they're doing has just gone really well. Parking, we've lost some tenants. We're picking that back up. But as I look at enterprise, I'm comfortable with where all the operations are. Some are lagging for obvious reasons, and some we just don't have this year. They're not open, so we can't make any revenue at them. With that, commissioners, I don't really have anything else to share. All in all, we are in a good spot in August. Not as good a spot as we were last year at this time, but the trajectory and the trend is positive, and so we're excited about where everything is. And compliments to all the management in the field. They're doing an excellent job of holding expenses in line. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. So we'll move to CEO's report.
Thank you. The first item up for consideration is the 2025 budget adjustment number 8. Back to Wade.
Thanks, Joe. Commissioners, on page 9, you'll see budget adjustment number 8 in the amount of 10 million $631,328. It's a fairly large adjustment. The details on page 29 and 30, but what I do want to point out is that the primary reason for the adjustment being $10 million is that we received, I'm sorry, the adjustment being $10,631,328 is that we received $10 million from CZS related to the primate forest, and so we have to make the adjustment for that, and now we'll be spending that. So a thank you to CZS for their $10 million that they've provided to help fund that project. I would ask your approval of budget adjustment number 8.
Move the motion. Is that proper?
Yes.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Next item up for consideration is authorization of the 2026 tax levy amounts and rates. Also back to Wade.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioners, we're just asking authorization to continue to collect our full millage at 2.75 mills, 2.7 voted mills, 0.05 inside mills. The exact amount won't be known until December when the county gives us final assessed values for this year and applies our rates to, but I would ask your approval of submitting our full millage to the county.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Next item up for consideration is adoption of the revised policy, Dignity and Respect for All. This was before us last month as informational item. Rose?
Thank you, Joe. Yes, this is the second reading, and then we'll move for adoption if there are no further questions. There have been no additional changes from the first reading last month. And just as a refresher, this was our regular and routine 5-year review of our respect and dignity policy. Respect and dignity remain at the core, one of our core values that we see hanging on the wall and that we amplify through this policy. We also have included our core goals, which are welcoming and connection to the community. So we will continue to serve those core values and core goals with the utmost urgency. The changes represent more of a strategic approach to leaving more of the tactical strategies to procedures versus keeping it in the policy. So any other questions? If not, we can move for adoption.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Next item up for consideration is the authorization to submit a grant application for Clean Ohio Conservation Funds for the Harrison property acquisition. This is 18.5 acres in the Hinckley Reservation adjacent to Ledge Lake Pool. It's a key adjacent parcel. Also provides us the opportunity to add a different entrance in the future to the Ledge Lake recreational area. Right now, there's a very skinny bridge that everyone goes across to enter into the property, and this will allow us to create a different ingress point. If there's no questions, the recommended action falls on the top of page 13.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Next item up for consideration is award of RFP 6931-B, Construction Manager at Risk for Cleveland Metro Parks. This is for the Lake Link Trail, Franklin Enhancements, and the Irestown Bend components. This was in front of the commissioners before. It's basically the trail that will go at the bottom of Irestown Bend and the supporting connectors. We talked about it in previous meetings, and now we're ready to move forward and submit the RFP to get work started on that project. If there are any questions, Sean's able to answer. If not, the recommended action falls on the bottom of page 16.
Move approval of the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Next up for consideration is tabulation and award of bids, RFPs, co-op single sources for items, some banking services, some cash logistics, some paving out in the Big Creek Reservation, a benchtop gas analyzer. I talked to Dr. Kuhar last night about this. It measures isotopes for endocrinology of the animals. I thought that was a unique item to have on this list. If there are no questions, recommended action falls on the page 23.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Etu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Moving to approval of vouchers and payroll. Wade?
Thanks, Joe. Commissioners, on page 26, you'll see approval of, you'll see Resolution 25-09-133 in the amount of $27,540,995.72. All of the vouchers and disbursements have been reviewed as to their legality and comply with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval of Resolution 25-09-133.
Move the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Etu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Commissioners, on page 27, you'll see Resolution 25-09-134. This is payments in the amount of $234.70 to Arborware. This voucher or payment has been reviewed as to its legality, and it complies with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval of 25-09-134 for payment to Arborware.
Move to approve.
Second.
Yvette Etu?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
And we'll note that Dan Moore is abstaining from this vote pursuant to what is required in our policy, to note that on the record. Thank you.
Any other action from CEO's report?
Nope, that's
okay.
It.
So do we have public comment? Marty?
Good morning. I'm sure security remains top of mind after yet another incident in Rocky River Reservation. How much staffing did the lakefront and downtown pull from former police assignments in the legacy reservations? How many are assigned to lakefront? How many outer zones might one officer cover? After the jogger attack, comments on Facebook reflected this concern with complaints about never seeing officers in Rocky River. I have to agree, especially as compared to the past. Areas and visitors to Rocky River and others with relatively low crime rates shouldn't be penalized for having fewer incidents. One hallmark of good leadership is a willingness to admit mistakes, cut losses, and move on. The barge has become the perfect symbol for sunk money. Rulin estimated an additional $3.2 million going forward. Last meeting's roof repair came in a third over estimate, so that $3.2 million may well be optimistic. What has been spent? What will the ultimate final cost be? Outside barge consultants, pre- and post-purchase, emphasize that the deterioration is increasing and repairs will only get more expensive. Couldn't those future dollars be better leveraged to meet the goal of STEM and lake experiences sooner, before even more school kids miss out? Maybe scuttle the barge and then camera it as fish habitat for a unique addition. Getting your donors on board with this approach may be better than having them look back later with regrets. Another benefit, part of the savings could go to hiring more officers, which is increasingly competitive and costly. The lakefront and Irish Town Band and the river walkways are all likely to face unruly crowds where alcohol fuels violence. Cleveland police are already overwhelmed. Money is only going to get tighter, as your current finances show. Be prepared to rank choices based on essential or desirable or unnecessary, and then spend our money wisely. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments? Okay. Then I think we can move to our informational briefing.
We have one informational briefing item. It's a very important one, how we plan our our future and how we engage the public in that process. So excited to bring Sean and his team forward to talk about the 2025 reservation plan updates.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Good morning, commissioners. I am pinch hitting for Kelly Kaufman this morning, so She does an incredible job with me. I've got Josiah and Connor to help out. So we're going to walk through our reservation plans and reservation planning process, always coming back to our mission and our six core goals. As we develop our reservation plans, we are making sure that both our mission and our core goals are sacrosanct. When it comes to our reservation plans, each of our 18 reservations has a reservation master plan. We do so for many reasons, but some of those most driving ones are our CAPRA certification and re-accreditation process, making sure that our system plan lines up with our expenditures and our core goals, and making sure that we're identifying the commitments to not only natural resource management, but our management of infrastructure, balancing needs of maintenance of infrastructure and future improvements. So this year, we are in the heart of the county. The list on the right is really not meant to be read, but it shows you the effort that gets put in by all the internal stakeholders. This process that we've developed that we've found works the best is really cast a wide net, take in an incredible amount of information and feedback from the staff, and then take that process then public. But this year, we are at Brookside, Ohio and Erie Canal, Garfield, West Creek, and Washington. With that, I love showing the stats of how the real estate team and our team at large does an amazing job of continuing to increase the foothold of these reservations, specifically these that are in a very landlocked portion of the county. So knowing that in just the 8 years between 2017 and 2025, these five reservations have grown by about 18% in landmass is quite notable. With that, we need to make sure that our reservation plans are up to date and are including and incorporating these specific new acquisitions that have been included in the reservations. The process, so we kick it off in the spring, and then we go through initial drafts and creating concept plans, draft plans. We are at the step here where we're introducing these to you today, being in September. We'll then go on a roadshow. We will have community open houses in October, and then by late October, be doing some refinements and bringing those refinements back to you at our November board meeting. So we talked about the fact that some of these parks are in the heart of the county. The interesting thing here is that several of them fall into the original scheme for parks and parkways for the city of Cleveland. So that being Brookside, Washington, and Garfield. So there's some real great history here where these parks were in Cleveland's master plan, not so much Cleveland Metro Park's original legacy reservations in the Emerald Necklace. So there's a great sense of responsibility and history here as these parks have been incorporated into our system. There is also some very uniqueness. At Washington, we found, and I don't know that we had this the last time we went around with the Washington plans, but we actually found some photos of a fantastic old multiple arch bridge that used to span the old Brook Valley, and that actually was filled in over time for I-77 construction, and then Republic Steel used it for construction debris, so filling that valley. So unfortunately, it's something that has been lost over time, but we found it was really interesting in Washington that there's quite a bit of history here. So the common themes in the reservation plan updates is, again, we are in the core of the county. We want to make sure that our trails and connections are priorities for our park users. That's one of the main things that we hear in feedback from our guests. Many of these reservations have the towpath as their spine, especially OEC. And then, being that we are in a very highly developed area of the county, these parks are very important for providing respite from the surrounding developed areas and communities and neighborhoods. And also, they provide a unique both challenge for natural resource management, but also an incredible opportunity where otherwise there may not be a lot of open space in these neighborhoods. So we're going to start at Brookside. We're not going to go through the details. You have plans in front of you to take with you and study at home if you'd like. But some major and the most important takeaways in the draft plans for Brookside are Brighton Park and Treadway Creek. So we've added Brighton Park to Brookside Reservation, and then we're working with the City of Cleveland on how to sign a neighborhood connection to connect you to Treadway that then connects you to the Towpath Trail. And there's one small connection that needs to be made down on Jennings Road to connect this system directly to the towpath. And then on the west side, we will continue to work with Brooklyn and other stakeholders to figure out how to continue the trail up the Big Creek corridor. Also in the plan, we're looking at how to create a better gateway to the zoo on Pearl. The RTA is going through their bus rapid transit plans right now for West 25th, and we'd like to incorporate some changes both for access and the gateway to the zoo. Also, at West 38th Street, we will be working on a natural surface trail. I believe our trails crew has already started this process to connect from Wildlife Way to West 38th and the neighborhood on the top of the Valley Wall. We're also looking at potential improvements to the ball fields here, Rose and Elder ball fields in Brookside. And we also are going to continue to work on some trail connections to Valley and Park Drive. Moving to Garfield, what we found here is the incredible amount of investment that's occurred at the park has really helped both with visitation, and we've gotten some great, great feedback. So that investment has occurred here primarily in the heart of the park. And what we'll be seeing is further investment by ODOT. I believe it's a $30 million bridge, the White House Bridge, on which they will be constructing a multi-use path. And that will help us in the future connect down Broadway and then connect up East 131st into the neighborhood. We will also be under construction here on the replacement of a culvert and some additional daylighting on Mill Creek. On the north side of the reservation, we have plans for continued expansion of the Mill Creek Falls area, and then the Booth Avenue connection as part of our RAISE project up into the Union Miles neighborhood. OEC, in the OEC reservation, Ohio Erie Canal, we continue to work with our partners in the area concern along the Cuyahoga River. Some great benefits have been seen lately, including the return of bald eagles and river otters in OEC. And again, the Towpath Trail is really the spine. It's the main street of OEC that acts as our central artery for our regional trail network. And also in OEC, we've worked hard on the Cleveland Cliffs Bike Park and expansion of mountain bike trails throughout the reservation. One major component of bringing more access and connection to OEC reservation is the connection up Warner Hill to Garfield Boulevard, which will then connect you to Garfield Park off the screen to your right. Further up Ohio and Erie Canal Reservation is the more urban center. So along the east and the west bank of the Cuyahoga River, we've seen this map before, but where we will be concentrating most is what you just saw earlier in the agenda is Irish Town Bend. And then working on connectivity at Rivergate Park to Cleveland Rowing Foundation up through the Graincraft and Cantonese Classic Seafoods properties. So those are efforts that are in front of us right now, in addition to partnering with Bedrock on improvements along their riverfront, connecting to the new Cavs training facility, and then hopefully back up to the Slavic Village downtown connector. So there's a lot going on.
Is there a distinction between the dotted orange and the dotted purple you had on the other, in terms of like the proposed trails?
There actually is not. They represent the same thing in that they are proposed trails.
Like orange meant a certain time frame, it would be done. Is it, so there's no distinction.
No specific distinction. It's the way in which Brandon created these specific maps with his color schemes. Yes. Great question, though. Moving on to Washington. Washington's unique in that we saw some major expansion of the park with the 9 acres that were added with the Cleveland Metropolitan School District as those acres came into the park just a few years ago. Some major improvements with First Tee and their new headquarters building here. And then right now, although we're kind of living with construction, the Regional Sewer District is developing a shaft location here for their deep tunnel, and that will be done in 2027. Once that's done, we'll have a new parking lot, and then we hope to have further improvements in the historic pavilion building here that came to us as part of that Cleveland Metropolitan School District agreement. West Creek Reservation. We've seen a dramatic increase in acreage at West Creek as our partners at West Creek Conservancy continue to work with us to expand the reservation and connectivity. We are currently under construction on the portion of the West Creek connector just to the west of Broadview Road to get into the heart of the reservation, and then working with partners on plans to continue the West Creek Greenway north back to loop up to Broadview Road. So there's some great momentum here at West Creek, including the former Parmadale property and what we're calling High Point Park. We've recently opened some additional mountain bike trails, and we're working on some wetland restorations and the ability for a new reservable pavilion once we follow a remodel process there. As we do the traveling road show, we'll be at Brookside, then OEC, Garfield, West Creek, Rivergate, and then we will have an online ability for those to participate. But we get very good feedback. We get great participation and attendance at these programs. And quite frankly, it's energizing to go out to the community and really hear some wonderful ideas, and some of which get incorporated into the plans that you will then see in November. So with that, happy to open it up to any questions or feedback you have.
How do you respond to questions around timing of some of the proposed trails? So we've been really good in the past several years of bringing in grant funds as they're available, but I think we're starting to see those become less and less going forward. So you may have had a schedule of when things were going to be done. How do you talk to the community about the timing of when some of this activity will happen?
It's a great question, and we do answer that question most often with there is a prioritization process by which Sarah Meyer in planning and design participates with NOACA, our regional metropolitan planning organization, and as funding becomes available, we are literally ticking off the trails that we do, knowing that upcoming the efforts are really going to be on Euclid Creek Greenway and Rays. And then some of the connections down in the northern portion of the valley, Graincraft, Rivergate, et cetera. When we are asked, we're pretty specific in that we ask for a little bit of patience, because really it is out of our control in terms of when these projects get funded, but we'll provide the prioritization list. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. I think it's, you're great to talk about the future and all these exciting projects, but I did want to reiterate the tax delinquency problem. It's a real problem. And we're going to have to look hard this budget cycle on how we make the projections work to get through the end of the levy cycle. So we'll be looking at making some changes and modifications so that when we forecast out, the numbers look better. With the current collections that we currently see, without any guarantee that they will improve, we have to start making some real tough decisions right now, and also follow through on the things that we said we were going to do. You know, the consistency that our users experience, the projects that we've started and committed to, both financially and from a development standpoint, we need to be prepared to follow through with that too. So more will come on that as we get deep into the budget cycle and move forward, and I'm sure Wade will extrapolate that a little bit further as those decisions start to get made. But I didn't want to overlook that. That key component. It's something we're taking very seriously as we move forward. Moving on, we don't have any old business. The date of the next meeting is a Wednesday, October 15th, 2025, 8 a.m.
Joe, I wanted to ask one question that maybe we could refer to a future meeting, and that is how effective we're being at reserving these various places that we have that people can reserve, gazebos and this sort of thing. Are we satisfying the customer? I mean, every now and then, a few years back, we looked at the cost versus the cost versus the revenue we get from them, and sort of we're considering whether we should expand them because of the demand or not. Could you take another quick look at that and see how we're doing on that?
Yeah, we can take a look at that, and part of the process, we'll be looking at other revenue opportunities as we move forward and other drains on our expenses that maybe we do differently or modify as well to make sure that we can be financially stable through the end of the cycle. So our reservations are definitely one of those things we'll take a look at, so we can be more specific in the future for sure.
That would be great.
If there's no other business, I think we'll adjourn. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Why don't you second, Yvette?
Second.
Okay, great. And then if Bruce had left the meeting, maybe he left. So.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Thank you. I didn't know he had left. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Great.
We're hitting budget on our rentals. Now that they've automated, put online the rentable spaces, Sam Cardo and his group, even like utilizing Stillwater, they're doing really well.